book, her third memoir, or third book, I'm sorry, will be called Norther, Recovering Nicaragua, about the 1980s Contra War against the Sandinistas. Please welcome Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz.
To be here today. I was going to talk about this new book, which I think is a fabulous book, Pax Americana, Exposing the American Empire. I will in a way, but I won't be reading from it. I have some cards here. There is an event at Modern Times, and some of the contributors, myself, Bernadine Doran, Barbara Epstein, Emmanuel Wallerstein, and Tariq Ali will be at Modern Times Bookstore on April 26th, and Elizabeth Batika Martinez will be emceeing, hosting. I wanted to talk about imperialism and the effects it has on our lives, our daily lives, and the origins of the United States and the genocide against Native peoples. But I just returned last night from 2 weeks in Geneva, Switzerland at the UN Commission on Human Rights, the United Nations Commission on Human Rights. And it's a big burden on me. It's 2 weeks of very intensive work with a group of very traditional Native Americans from US and Canada and Central America. Native peoples have been working at the United Nations now for almost 30 years, since Wounded Knee the of 1973, trying to get the treaties recognized in international law and land self-determination acknowledgement in the UN. It's had its ups and downs. We've actually been able to do quite a bit of building of structure, infrastructure in the UN. But now the United States is proposing to pretty much wipe out the entire division of human rights in which all of the indigenous initiatives, it actually, maybe it's a little paranoid, but it actually seems like they're going to do that, try to do that just to get that issue out of discussion at the United Nations. Well, after 9 days of listening to the United States head of delegation is a right-wing senator, Republican senator from Minnesota named Rudy Bochewicz, something like that, and he began each of his statements with a phrase, "I've been a friend of the Bush family for 30 years. When I told Rebecca Solnit this, she quipped, plenty of time to be considered a war criminal, to be a friend of the Bush family. So he was bragging each time, not even really relating to the meeting that was taking place, which is supposed to send experts on human rights. He was bragging about democracy breaking out all over the world because of the invasion of Iraq. And mind you, this was during the week of the 2 week anniversary of that invasion. And so I signed up to give a 3 minute intervention, which is all they allow non-governmental groups, under gross violations of human rights. And I want to read to you what I said. The Indigenous World Association is a UN-affiliated non-governmental organization that I direct. It's been around since 1981, and we work close conjunction with the International Indian Treaty Council. So, here's my intervention. The Indigenous World Association speaks on the question of the violation of human rights and fundamental freedoms today with a heavy heart. 2 years ago, the United States Armed Forces invaded Iraq, a country already disarmed and starved. With the use of what it called shock and awe, the U.S. administration believed it could crush the spirit of the Iraqi people. as well as the overwhelming majority of the world's peoples and governments that opposed the invasion, thereby creating a new reality on the ground. Despite continued Iraqi resistance and mass opposition inside and outside the USA, to a certain extent, might has won out over right. Shamefully, this Commission on Human Rights has not condemned the illegal invasion and the bloody occupation that includes systematic torture and cruel and inhuman treatment of detainees. The survivors of the indigenous peoples of North America who were invaded and colonized by the United States are cognizant of the roots of the United States' current behavior in the world. The U.S. military uses the term Indian country to refer to enemy territory, for instance, to Fallujah and other areas of Iraq not yet pacified. This term illustrates the origins of U.S. militarism. However, violence is only one weapon in the U.S. arsenal in its quest for world domination and its genocide against the poor peoples of the world. So-called democracy is its most pernicious weapon. By democracy, the United States means elections and majority rule, not the right to food or to housing or employment or literacy or quality education or to water, nor to any other collective human right that gives meaning to a functional democracy. The reality of national elections in the United States is that only with hundreds of millions of dollars is a candidate able to launch a campaign for office. The majority of eligible voters do not register to vote, and among those who do register, the majority don't vote. That is because the candidates, in order to gain the required funds, must reflect the corporate elite's dominance and offer absolutely nothing to the voters. In every election where there is a choice for allowed to vote for none of the candidates, that choice would prevail. In fact, in not registering or voting, the majority is expressing its negative view of the candidates and the system. This is the system the United States is invading and intervening in other countries to impose. And if those countries don't accept this system, they are likely to be invaded or occupied. As one Native leader has said, Indians are prisoners of democracy. Well, very rarely is there applause in the UN, but that there was a applause for this, a very loud applause for this, this small statement. People seem to regard me as some sort of isolated person who came there to speak against the United States. And I think that's rather sad that they get very little news about any resistance here in the United States. I found that also at a seminar I helped organize while there on Iraq, where I was the only U.S. citizen there. And again, I was treated that way. I felt very uncomfortable because it does reflect that we are being perceived as simply approving of this. Well, I wanted to leave about 10 minutes for discussion. I'll mention again this event, and tomorrow night also a spotlight on anarchist women at City Lights Books, 5 p.m. down in North Beach. If any of you are still here and can come, or locals who can come. Sharon Presley has just published a book on Walletin de Clair of her writings, and Lucy Parsons' book, which was published, and to which I wrote an afterword. The two of us will be reading a bit and discussing anarchist women, which I'm hoping the next anarchist book fair will be on the theme of anarchist women, and there will be more than two women. So comments, questions, discussions.
I want you, at one point, mentioned you were the only U.S. citizen.